Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour of Red Sox Review is brought to you by National Lumber, your local Anderson Windows dealer.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
JD swings, drives one deep toward the gap in right center field by the bullpen, and Dahl goes back. It's gone! Into the Red Sox bullpen. Two-run homer, J.D. Martinez, and it's 5-0 Red Sox. His ninth of the year and 27 RBIs for J.D.
Recapping the Red Sox win.
Swinging a ground ball up the middle into center field. Bogarts will be waved home. Dahl comes up throwing. It is nowhere close. Bogarts scores. Chavis the hero. And the Red Sox win it 6-5.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Brian Barrett on WEEI.
All right, well, there you have it. Your Red Sox now 23-20 on the season after this 6-5 win over the Rockies in extra innings. And I'd like to be the first person to say thank you very much to Chad Bettis. Chad Bettis tonight, what a performance he had for the Colorado Rockies. He comes into this game. In extra innings, he throws two pitches. The first pitch he throws, Xander Bogarts absolutely crushes it off the wall. And then they decide, you know what, we're going to walk Rafael Devers. So first and second, nobody out. And then Michael Chavis comes to the mound, and you heard the call from Will Fleming there right here on WEI. What happens then? Chavis with an RBI single, a walk-off RBI single, and the Red Sox go into the night with a 6-5 win over the Colorado Rockies. So Chad Bettis comes into this game. He now with a 6.56 ERA. He throws exactly two pitches, and he gave up the lead to the Red Sox so they could win this one 6-5. And boy, did they need it after the way they lost last night, after you had Chris Sale go out there, struck out 17 batters, and somehow you lost the game last night. So they needed this split badly, especially considering the fact that you look at the recent opponents for the Red Sox. Yeah, they sweep the Mariners. Yeah, they won a series against the Orioles. Yeah, they won a series against the White Sox. All teams that completely suck. The Rockies are a team that has been in the postseason the past couple of years, so it's at least a competent opponent. It's not the Houston Astros, who you'll play this weekend, but a big-time win for the Red Sox to salvage this split. You could not go into the Astros series after losing two consecutive games in extra innings. This was a huge win for the Red Sox. I get it's early on in the season, but you don't want to have that going into the Astros series, coming off back-to-back ugly losses. You just don't want to have that if you're the Red Sox at this particular point in time. The other thing I would point out, too, because there are some negatives from this one. Of course, there's going to be some negatives with the way that Eduardo Rodriguez handled that seventh inning. There are definitely negatives to get to. But the positives, you look at Michael Chavis, and you look at what he did tonight with the walk-off hit. But more specifically, you look at Michael Chavis and now the bottom third of this order. And really, from the five spot on, what has happened and how much deeper this Red Sox lineup has become over the past couple of weeks because of the emergence of Chavis. And of course, Rafael Devers has now been red hot for about a month. And also the fact that you're now getting production from Christian Vasquez. You look at Chavis today coming into the evening, 289 with a 999 OPS and seven home runs. Tonight he delivers. He goes through that little bit of a cold spell, and tonight he delivers with the walk-off. We know what Devers is doing, leading the American League in hitting right now at 331 with his three home runs. And then the big surprise to me, an unsung hero from this game, and really an emergence from Christian Vasquez this year at the plate. We saw what he did in the sixth inning, of course, where he throws out the runner there. Unbelievable throw by him to get Desmond at second base. And we all knew that he was going to be competent behind the plate. The question going forward was going to be this with Christian Vasquez, was how was the back going to play? And you look at Vasquez tonight, another two hits. Last eight games coming into this evening, he was hitting 545. On the season now, 286, 832 OPS, five home runs. Last year, if you look at his batting average, he's up 80 points. His on-base percentage is up 90 points. and his OPS is up almost 300 points. So now that you have a couple of guys down in your lineup, and I'm talking about from the five spot on, you know what you have with Devers, who has emerged as one of the best hitters in baseball right now. You look at the fact that now you have Chavis, who comes in with all this power, the home run he hit last night, unbelievable. I still think that was foul, but I don't know how you overturn it, considering the umpire on the field called it a fair ball. You can't really see. He hit it so far, and he hit it so high, you didn't really see where it left the park. And now Vasquez, a guy that in previous seasons has been a dead out, he's emerging as a hitter. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Paul in Westfield to start things off tonight. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Brad, I'll tell you what's going on. Chris Sale's back. That performance last night, to think in 21 innings, he had 41 strikes with one walk. He had the two starts where he had 14 Ks, two consecutive games. That's never been done. Only Clemens threw 20 strikes in a game. I mean, we may have lost the game, but boy, Chris Sale is ill with that filthy slider. You missed him by her.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Paul. Appreciate the phone call. If you want to grab his line, you can. 617-779-7937. Chris Sale last night, I don't know how you put that performance into words. The only thing I would say is, talk about a missed opportunity. How do you lose a game when your pitcher goes out there, 17 strikeouts? How do you lose a game in that scenario? And by the way, we can get to this in more detail, but the fact that people were questioning Alex Cora for taking him out of the game last night, are you kidding me? This is a guy that was at 108 pitches, had just given up a home run in the previous inning to Nolan Arenado. I get he had a strikeout to end the inning, but remember, he just gave up a home run to Nolan Arenado. And Chris Sale is somebody that, if you're the Red Sox, his five-year, $145 million deal doesn't even kick in until next season. So you got to wait for Chris Sale. You got to make sure he's healthy. Going back out there after 108 pitches just to get a record, maybe, to break the 20 strikeout record, that's what you'd be sending him back out there. When you've been preaching patience with him, when you've been preaching discipline with him, if Alex Cora actually put him out there last night, he would have looked like a hypocrite. That was the right move. You can say, oh, lefty-lefty, see what he can do with the first batter of the inning. No, they made the right decision last night putting Chris Sale on the bench or letting him hit the showers early after the seventh inning of that game. What happened was his teammates didn't pick him up. You go out there and you throw a game where you have 17 strikeouts. If you're the Red Sox, you need to win that game last night.
It's hard for me to be wrong.
And last night, by the way, carries over to tonight. If you had lost this one, man, did you need this one tonight. And heck of a job by Michael Chavis there in the ninth inning, or rather in the 10th inning, because you had plenty of opportunities earlier in this game. We'll get to some of the negatives coming up here, because Eduardo Rodriguez, inexcusable start by him. And in terms of critical hitting, you didn't really have it until the 10th inning of this game. A lot of missed opportunities for the Red Sox tonight. I got you for about the next 2.5 hours right here on WEEI.
What was wrong tonight with Rodriguez?
Just that last inning, he limited damage earlier in the game. We got all those lefties coming up, and there's a trust factor. There's a guy that we believe, and he needs to go deep into the game. And the matchups, although he has struggled against lefties, we felt that you get those guys, and then we get Barnsley with one or two outs and get that out and get him out of there, but it didn't happen.
That's the manager, Alex Cora, on Eduardo Rodriguez tonight. What'd you make of his performance? 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next about hour and a half or so. I agree with the manager. Look, no more babying this guy. This is 5 years into this guy's career. You got to be able to handle the 8 and 9 hitter in an order, especially considering that they're both lefties and you're a lefty. So I'm done with the babying of Eduardo Rodriguez. I'm done of hearing about how great his stuff is, because you're thinking to yourself, after two really good outings for Eduardo Rodriguez, remember, last two outings, one earned in 13 innings entering today, 11 strikeouts in those last two games for Eduardo Rodriguez. You're thinking, okay, maybe is this the time that he's finally turned the corner? And tonight, it's a horrendous performance. It is absolutely atrocious from Eduardo Rodriguez, considering the stuff that this guy has at his disposal. You look at it, you start cruising, right? Two strikeouts in each of your first two innings, and you finish the game with 10 strikeouts. That tells you how dominant your stuff is when you have 10 strikeouts and you're still on the hook for 5 runs. You struck out 10 guys, you're on the hook for 5 runs, okay? But you think about this. Fourth inning, you had just been given a 5-0 lead. A 5-0 lead. You're Eduardo Rodriguez. Your stuff is legitimate. Nobody's arguing with the stuff. Your stuff is really, really good. You go out there with a 5-0 lead, that should be curtains. That game should be over. But you look at it, what does he do in that next inning? Mark Reynolds hitting 203. You give up a single to him. And Desmond hitting 213. He doubles off you. And then you walk McMahon hitting 237. And then Walters, the nine hitter, you fall behind 2-0. You give him a fastball middle-middle for a double to bring in two. Just not good enough. You shouldn't be struggling against bad hitters with Eddie's stuff, and that's what he did tonight. It's one thing if Arenado or if Blackman get to you, but you can't let Reynolds and Desmond and Walters and the eight-hitter McMahon, you can't walk him. Okay, so it's 5-2 after that. And you figure to yourself, all right, it's just an off inning for Eduardo Rodriguez. He'll come back the next inning, and he did. He got himself back on track in that next inning. He had that nasty changeup that he struck out Story on. And then you had Arenado. You got him to hit a weak fly ball. And then after that, you struck out Reynolds. But then in the seventh inning, you sent Eduardo Rodriguez back out there to Alex Cora. And I don't blame Alex Cora, because this is a situation where he's supposed to be the third guy in your rotation right now. You're heading out there with 8-9-1 coming up. All lefties. Eduardo Rodriguez is a lefty. He should be able to handle this situation. He should be able to handle this situation. And what does Eddie do with 8-9-1 coming up? Back-to-back hits to Ryan McMahon hitting 245. Okay, second hit he gave up to him on the day. And then Tony Walters, you give up a hit to him, who's the nine hitter. And then you plunk Charlie Blackman. Then you plunk Charlie Blackman. Just, it's inexcusable performance by Eduardo Rodriguez, okay? And you look at it, you can say to yourself, well, he could have gone to the bullpen. Yeah, he could have. But at some point, you need more out of Eduardo Rodriguez, okay? He only threw, in this particular game, 106 pitches. That's fine. You can throw that if you're Eduardo Rodriguez, and you have to be able to trust this guy. You have to be able to trust him against two lefties coming up, 8-9, and then Charlie Blackman leading off. He gives up two hits to 8-9, and then you have the leadoff hitter coming up, and you plunk him. And because of the fact that last game, last night, you had to go deep into your bullpen, Matt Barnes had to pitch two innings, so you wanted to try to give your bullpen a little bit of a rest, considering that you kind of overused it last night based on the fact that the game went to extra innings, and Eduardo Rodriguez, rather, is supposed to give you that ability to do that. And tonight he didn't deliver. Tonight he did not deliver. We're talking about year five of it. Year five of this thing with Eduardo Rodriguez. And he continues to be inconsistent. Continues to be inconsistent. So I'm done hearing this crap about how Eduardo Rodriguez's stuff is great. We know his stuff is great. How many times are the Red Sox, as an organization, are guys on the team going to tell you how great Eduardo Rodriguez's stuff is? I feel like that's a storyline every spring training, how great Eduardo Rodriguez's stuff is. But maybe what we should just come to the realization with Eduardo Rodriguez is, the realization we should come to is this. Maybe he's just more of an innings eater than he is somebody that's going to be a frontline starter. That ship has sailed. He's not going to be a frontline starter in this league. We've been going through this for too long. When you enter year five, you're usually good. Like Chris Sale was very much established by year five of his career. David Price was very much established by year five of his career. You look across Major League Baseball, Verlander was established. Scherzer was established, right? These guys are established by year five. Eduardo Rodriguez still has not established himself. With all the stuff that he has, he still cannot figure it out. You're giving up multiple hits to the eight and the nine hitter tonight. After coming off two really good starts, the talent is tantalizing. The guy has a ton of talent. He has great stuff, but he just can never put it together. And I'm not going to blame the manager tonight for sending him out there for the eight and the nine hitter, because he had gotten through a couple of big-time innings. He got through Charlie Blackman. He got through Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story early on in the game. He got through those guys. So you're supposed to be able to go back out there and get the bottom of the order. And for whatever reason, Eduardo Rodriguez is incapable of doing that. So maybe when we project now long-term with Eduardo Rodriguez, maybe what we should be looking for is this. Can he be Rick Porcello? Can he just be somebody that you can depend on? Because I thought we finally got over the hump where he's going to go 6-7 innings on the normal now. Like, that was going to be a normal outing. On the regular, he was going to go 6 or 7 innings. And for whatever reason, that had been an issue for the bulk of his career with the control issues. He couldn't get through 6-7. And we're seeing that this year. But now we're seeing, after two starts that he performed at a high level in, you're looking at a situation tonight where he goes back to the old Eduardo Rodriguez. You're spotted 5 runs. You got to finish that game if you're Eduardo Rodriguez. And you got to bail out your bullpen. And you got to bail out your manager when he shows trust in you in the seventh inning to go up there against the 8 and the 9 hitter. You got to deliver in that situation. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Ken, who's in California. What's up, Ken?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah, two things. One, Rodriguez is never going to be a frontline starter.
No.
He's never going to be a seven-inning finish guy, okay? He's a head case, and a head case. And I do blame Cora for putting him out there and letting him put 3 guys on. You put 1 guy on, okay. You put 2 guys on, not so good.
Ken, your issue is with after he gives up the hit to the 8 hitter, then you go ahead and you bring in the reliever.
I think so. Or you know what? He got you through 6. I bet you can count on one hand how many complete seven innings. This guy has thrown in the last 3 years, never mind 5, the last 3.
Yeah, you know what, Ken?
I bet you could count him on one hand.
Ken, it's a good point by you. I mean, you look at it, right? So finally, Alex Cora shows some faith in the kid, and because he'd been going deep in a couple of other games, he shows some faith in him. And what does he do? He fails his manager. Alex Cora showed trust in him. He showed faith in him, just like he's done that with different guys throughout their careers, where he sticks with guys in certain parts of the batting order. He sticks with guys in the order. He sticks with Devers at third base earlier in the season, even when he's struggling, right? He sticks with guys. Maybe at some point he's just going to lose faith in him, and he's not going to give him those opportunities because tonight he tried to show faith in Eduardo Rodriguez, and what happened? He could not deliver, and the game goes extra innings. Marcus Walden has to go 2 1/3. You have to throw Matt Barnes back out there again tonight. You have to bring Heath Embry out of your bullpen because of the fact that this guy couldn't deliver in the seventh inning.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, can we please stop hearing about the time frame for Pedroia? It's not going to happen, okay? And you got a kid at second base that is hitting home runs. He's okay at second base.
Nice play tonight, Ken.
He's driving in runs. And right now, Petey can't carry his bat and won't carry his bat from now on.
Can I go home?
And he's done. And Petey's done. He's done.
And I appreciate it, Ken. Great call. 617-779-7937 is the number. I agree with that. The Pedroia thing, I'm so sick and tired of the storyline. I don't get it. I really don't.
I feel bad for the guy.
You feel bad for the guy,
Joe? Like, I mean, the way it ends, I mean, obviously, no, I agree with you. You should move on, but this is just becoming a story that people just keep on bringing. But it's a setback, a setback, a setback, and a setback, and it's not going to go anywhere forward.
Well, and that's the issue that you have with Pedroia, right? Because he starts the season off, he plays 6 games, and he has to go to the DL. Then over the weekend, he has another setback, and now he's going back for another rehab stint. The only way that I'd possibly considering bringing the guy back is if he can prove he's healthy. But the problem is this. That time has passed with Pedroia. You have Michael Chavis, who has been unbelievable since he's been up. He has the walk-off hit tonight. He has 7 home runs. The power is absolutely ridiculous. That home run he hit last night, unbelievable.
He swings that bat like a man.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. He does not get cheated. And the home run last night, I looked at that, and I really don't know if it was fair or foul. Now, initially, I thought it was foul, but nonetheless, I don't know how you overturned it because it was so high, I don't even know when it left the ballpark. It was an incredible hit by Michael Chavis, and he follows it up tonight with a walk-off hit. I mean, 2 really good performances back-to-back. He went through that 1 cold streak, and then we saw on Sunday he had 5 RBIs in that game, so he's right back on track. The problem with Pedroia is there's no room for the guy, and it's not like you're rushing somebody back that's performed at a high level as of late, right? It's not like if you had Andrew Benintendi coming back, who's been a really good player for you the past couple of years, or if you had Xander Bogaerts coming back, who's played really well for you the past couple of years. No, it's Dustin Pedroia, who hasn't been a relevant player within this organization for like 2 years. It's a long time since Dustin Pedroia has actually been a relevant contributor to this team. So there's no room for Dustin Pedroia. That's just the reality of the situation. And the reason that it continues to be a story is because they keep giving us updates on him all the time. Like, you have to prove to me that you can stay healthy for a month if you're a Dustin Pedroia before you even get a chance to get back up on this team. And then the other thing is this. They're 23-20 of the Red Sox right now. They're going to be competing with the Yankees and the Rays to try to win this division. You do not want to play in the wild card game, not to state the obvious, but you want to try to win this division. Putting Chavis, putting Pedroia in the lineup, you may have to take Chavis out or maybe he plays first, but putting Pedroia in the lineup, it doesn't give your team an advantage in any way, shape, or form. Pedroia hasn't been a good baseball player in 3 years. It doesn't give you an advantage anywhere. So the point of getting him back on the team, it's worthless. It doesn't make any sense. Like if somebody else was hurt, right? If you had a situation where you were dealing with, say, Christian Vasquez was hurt, or say, for example, Rafael Devers was hurt, you want to get them back onto the team because they're contributors. Pedroia doesn't help the upside of this team whatsoever. Chavis is the upside. There's no upside with bringing Pedroia back. The guy hasn't had power in ages to begin with. I mean, his highest career home run season is 21. Chavis has 7. The guy's been with the team for like 5 weeks. So there's no upside with Pedroia whatsoever. It makes no sense to bring Pedroia back up to this team. It won't help the team. And I actually feel bad for Alex Cora because this is something he's got to deal with in the clubhouse internally. All right, a lot more coming up, including this Red Sox team and the situational hitting, rather, this year has not been great. We'll continue to talk about Eduardo Rodriguez as well. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
Caballito, the little pony, Dustin Pedroia.
Maybe he just, I don't know, tries some other kind of treatment and tries to give it a go next year. Nothing really needs to be done. He is going to go away.
If you're going to compete against me, you better be willing to give up your life because I'm giving up mine.
All right, yeah, the Dustin Pedroia storyline continues. On the Nesson broadcast tonight, they kept showing him on TV talking about his rehab. Yeah, every time he goes down for a rehab stint, he gets hurt again. It's over. The guy's career is done, and he has no relevance on this team whatsoever. If anything, he's going to hurt the team because that means that a good bat would have to come out of the lineup. I'm done with it. Brian Barrett with you for about the next 2 hours or so. 617-779-7937 is the number. One thing that has to be mentioned, though, is Marcus Walden tonight. The guy was unbelievable. Again, he goes 2 1/3. This time, perfect baseball. Four strikeouts from entering today. 22 1/3, 161 ERA. Where would this team be right now without Marcus Walden? Because outside of Matt Barnes, how many of the guys in this bullpen can you depend on at this particular point in the season? Now, I understand that Barnes gave up the hit tonight, and they were sitting on that curveball for Matt Barnes. That's something that Lou Maloney talked about on the broadcast tonight. That's something that is scouting. The same thing happened to Brandon Workman last night. And I get that Workman had a strikeout tonight, but you look at Workman on the season and you look at Workman last night in terms of giving up that home run to Charlie Blackmon. Workman on the season, the thing that has always worried me about him is 14 walks in 19 innings coming into tonight. 14 walks in 19 innings. You can't trust him. And I get that he had the hitless streak or whatnot, but you can't trust Workman with the amount of pitches that he throws that are out of the zone and the amount of batters he walks. He was really getting lucky with the numbers that he was putting up. I get he has a great curveball, but now we're seeing that's in the scouting report, and we saw what happened last night where Charlie Blackmon is sitting on that, and Charlie Blackmon then takes that pitch out of the ballpark. But the other guys in this bullpen right now, I get that Heath Embry came in tonight and he was fine. Okay, that's one outing from Heath Embry. Let's see what Heath Embry can do going forward with this team. But the bullpen continues to be a concern. We all know that it was a concern a season ago and the Red Sox got away with it. But this year, you think they're going to get away with this bullpen long term? It's already been hurting them. It cost them a game last night. And Brazier's somebody that was supposed to be a high leverage guy. And at this particular point in time, is he a high leverage guy? Is Ryan Brazier a high leverage guy? Because last night we saw it again. He gives up a hit to Mark Reynolds and allows the Rockies to get in the game there. So Ryan Brazier has not been consistent whatsoever. You look at the OPS against lefties, it's significantly over 800 when last year it was around 600. So he has gotten significantly worse this year in terms of his approach pitching against lefties. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Wally, who's in Fall River. What's up, Wally?
Yeah, what's up? I mean, you look at Pedroia. I know they owe him a lot of money, but Chavis is your second baseman.
You need him
to lengthen out the lineup. Jackie's hitting 149. You put Pierce in there. He's hitting 105. What's Leon hitting? About 180. But you need this kid. He's going to not hit about 20 bombs and knock in about 70 runs. He just lengthens out the lineup. But the bullpen, I mean, you see Dombrowski in the stands sometimes with Tony La Russa or Dombrowski's there alone. You're going to need a lefty reliever in that bullpen. And everybody's sick of hearing about Kimbrel, but you got to get the guy back. I mean, he saved 44 games last night. Last year. Are you going to get that out of this bullpen right now? But the acid test is really going to come, I think, in the next 10 days. You got 6 games with Houston.
Yep.
So we're going to see really what this team is made of.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the phone call. If you want to grab his line, you can. 617-779-7937. Okay, here's the issue with Kimbrel. You're not bringing him back because of the money. Now, here's what Kimbrel said. Kimbrel now, and it's been reported by Ken Rosenthal, that Kimbrel's looking for a contract that is somewhere in between Zach Britton and Wade Davis, who, of course, is pitching for the Rockies now. Wade Davis got 3 years, about $52 million. And if you look at what Zach Britton got, it was 3 years and $39 million. Now, Kimbrel has come down on that asking price. Remember originally, he's a 30-year-old closer that wanted $100 million. Like, Craig, you pitch one inning a game, if that. Okay, you're not going to get $100 million on the open market. But nonetheless, one of the teams that is after Craig Kimbrel is the Tampa Bay Rays.
You can't let that happen.
Yeah, they've been keeping in contact with Craig Kimbrel, but I can't imagine the way things went this offseason that they would remotely consider bringing back Craig Kimbrel, but they're going to need to do something. And the question that I would have is, do you trust Dave Dombrowski to do that? Because we get it, the Nathan Eovaldi move worked last year, but how's that contract look right now? He's on the DL, $17 million per season. This is the first year of it. You look at Steve Pearce. Okay, that worked at the deadline, World Series MVP. He's hitting 111 this year. Remember, he just had the conversation with President Trump at the White House. Okay, so he's not productive whatsoever. That's why you're pinch hitting Eduardo Nunez, or rather leaving Eduardo Nunez in to hit at the end of the game there, because you don't have a righty bat that you can depend on coming off the bench. Pearce has not been good. Okay, so you look at what happened last year. It was magical. You put Eovaldi into that rover role, and everybody stepped up. Joe Kelly was great. Ryan Brazier was somebody that was great last year, but now he's not the same pitcher. You can depend on Matt Barnes, and now it looks like you can depend on Walden, but outside of that, who can you depend on? And do you trust that Dombrowski is going to make the proper moves to upgrade this bullpen? Also, considering the fact that you have the least to work with out of these contenders, the Astros farm system is significantly better than yours. The Yankees have better young players than you do and a better farm system. Remember, before the season, a couple of entities had the Red Sox rated as the worst farm system in all of Major League Baseball. So it's not even, do you trust that Dombrowski will actually make the right moves to pick up the requisite relievers on this team, but do you think he has the artillery at this particular point to be able to pick up some relievers to join this team? That's the question, because I cannot imagine that the formula they used last year is actually going to be able to duplicate itself this year heading into the postseason. So this bullpen that you thought was going to be an issue last year didn't end up being that, because you had Porcello come out of the bullpen, Price come out of the bullpen, Eovaldi go into that rover role, and all these relievers that you had last year somehow stepped up when you got into the postseason. It doesn't seem like that formula is something that can happen again. So how are you going to be able to upgrade this bullpen, and when are you going to upgrade this bullpen? Because it came back to bite you last night in the game, and tonight you're looking at a situation where it easily could have if it wasn't for Marcus Walden, a guy that can go 2 1/3. But how much longer can you depend on him going 2 1/3, considering the fact that he's been your second-best reliever, and you may have to save him long-term for high-leverage situations? All right, a lot more to get into. We'll continue to chat about the Red Sox. What did you make of Eduardo Rodriguez's start tonight? Plus, I'll get to some Celtics as well. Did the draft lottery actually help the Celtics or hurt the Celtics? You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.